Blog Talk Radio.
Stanley, what's the deal? Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, and bringing you a special show, Last Dance, Roseland, No More, and boxing there. You know, I just interviewed here Melly Mel, was there, Rosie Perez, talked to Lou DiBello, and hey, great interviews, and it should be interesting. But as you know, we always open every show with John Coltrane's Dear Lord, an iconic trumpet player who Miles Davis so fondly found. Now, in homage to the one and only true God, Dear Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, we ask you that you have your will, you have your way. And Lord, we thank you for little things that we so largely take for granted. We just want to thank you, Lord, for life and all of his goodness. Thank you for your daughter, Son Jesus, who died on the cross, so we may have the right to live life. We ask you to bless our families here on the panel, here in the USA, here in Brazil. More importantly, Lord, just thank you for being our God. We ask these blessings, all his blessings. We adonis in Jesus. Amen. And Max Daly, sponsored at Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust in God Radio Network. In Roseland, there was a couple of unique people there last night. And one of them was Rosie Perez. Rosie was there. And we also got a chance to talk to Melly Mel. It's a real interesting interview with him, and said some things that was quite shocking. And Rosie Perez, as I talked to Juba, who's going to be give us we're going to finish the interview we had with him, and we're going to do play with him, the sports devil, Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Network, and we're going to go to working on boxing. We're going to jump right into some of those interviews that we had last night. And like I said, it was just, you know, Melly Mel was there, you know, one of the legendary rappers from all time. And it was just interesting to sit there and talk to him and hear him spew out some of the things that he talked about boxing. As you know, Black History Month, we continue Black History Month saluting African Americans. Birthdays this month we talked about, and as we move here Bill Russell was the 12th. He just passed. And the 17th is that of two guys considered the greatest ever in their professions. Jim Brown, Michael Jordan, whose wife is just had twins. I salute him. Also, my good man Lamar Hunt, whose lovely wife just had a little boy. So I salute both of them, too. A lot of things that you would talk about. And we're going to look for a little music for you. We're going to play the interviews. The last number one hit across the board for the Temptations, and so the departure of Eddie Kendricks, was Just My Imagination. And Eddie led the Temptations, the first big hit they ever had, The Way You Do the Things You Do. Temptations came to Motown as Distance, as the Primes and Primettes were a group that they had. And the Primettes was three young ladies, Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, and Diana Ross. The Primes, their two big singers was Paul Williams and Eddie Kendricks. They joined with Otis Williams, came the Distance, the Motown, became the Temptations. And for a while, Barry Gordy changed their name from the Temptations to Pirates, and then back to the Temptations. The first million seller, My Girl. The first big hit was The Way You Do Things You Do. Had another song called You're the Right With Me, which is a big hit. Low and Shallow by the Beat and the Beatles version. But it's here. The last great Temptation is on the board, and it came to Just My Imagination. Number one on top, R&B, soul and rock.
Paul Williams.
of Franklin times 7. So that's going to head across the board with mutations. So David Ruffin. Dr. Kelly, what's next? Live Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And a little salute to the Temptations. Pound for pound, the said by many the best all around. Singing group and listening is Paul Williams, Otis Williams, and up Eddie Kendricks. Last night, Roseland, Last Dance, and the entertainment between boxing, sports, and entertainment is just right there. And some of the people in the audience, the first one I'm going to talk to is Melly Mel. And the interesting things is we talked about the Sweet Science, one of the legendary rappers of all time, Melly Mel. I can tell you, hey, you know what? It's all going to be.
Not sure, Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. A legend. And sports entertainment intertwined so often. So many times they call me Melly Mel, but here he is, Melly Mel. Melly, well, you said something that was so profound, and you talked about, you know, Mayweather has been the fight of the year, but he's never been in the fight of the year.
He never had the fight of the year, and that's a, you know, if you're a Mayweather fan, you know, I guess you have to, what you got, but see, I like the Oscar Frias, you know, the Turo Gaddis, you know, I'm a Joe Frazier fan, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm an Ali fan because of what he did with his career, but, you know, I like them bangers, you know, and I like to see a guy take a punch because that's how you can really measure. Like how they always say, you can't teach chin in the gym. And when you got a fighter that can take a punch, they go in there. That's the old time fighters, and that's the kind of fights I like to see. I mean,
you know, you gotta feel good again. Adding to your great resume, you're closing down Roseland, a place that's been a prominent institution, and here you are tonight, saying sayonara.
Yeah, we had a lot of good times. We had a party here. We performed here. You know what I mean? This is a great place, and I'm sorry to see it go down. I mean, there's a landmark. It's been here for so many years, and it's sorry to see that they just going to put, you know, a hotel or, you know, some business places and some shopping centers. I mean, it's a landmark in New York, and it deserves to stand it, you know what I mean? Just like all the old legends.
He's talking tonight, you know, Roseland, boxing, but the people talk about the game of boxing has, it's losing its luster. And a lot of it may be interesting because we need more Ali's in for you. We need more thrilling fights. Okay, you can be a pretty bad guy like Mayweather, but you need guys like Melly Mel that can throw down a fight. Like that.
Right. I mean, true fighters, bro, just like I always say. They don't remember great fighters. They remember great fights. Roy Jones was easily replaced by Floyd Mayweather because Roy Jones never had that signature fight. And even Mayweather, he don't have a Joe Frazier. So the next guy that's going to come along, I mean, people might think that I'm talking crazy. But time, you know, if you wait for enough time, 2 years after Mayweather retired, if a guy come around with that same skill set and can get the same kind of PR and promote himself, he's going to be a forgot because he hasn't had that signature fight. Whereas you say, okay, yeah, that was a great fight, you know what I mean? A fight like when I seen the second Ward Gotti fight, and I was knocked out asleep in London, and as soon as I seen him start fighting, I was up and I couldn't go back to sleep. That's how good the fight was. And that, you know, that, but that's true boxing. You know, that's prize fighting. You know, right now, you know, they like a lot of little stylized and it's the money game, but, you know, I mean, the history of boxing was guys that put it all on the line, you know what I mean? And they could take a punch, you know what I mean? You get in the 15th round, and even if the guy's up on the scorecard, the trainer be like, yo, go knock this guy out. You know what I mean? Now they'll be like, don't do nothing, you know, don't do nothing stupid, just, you know, just don't get yourself knocked out. You know what I mean? And that's between the game then and the game now. You know what I mean? It was more prize fighting. It was a blood sport. Now it's more cute. You know, it's a little too cute.
You said about Mike Tyson. I said that Mike Tyson was the last great heavyweight champion in boxing that we're going to see him. And you see, Mike was a fighter. Mike brought you blood and guts.
Yeah, because of Customano and his friends team. And they was old timers. They told him the old ways. He watched all the old film. I think it was the guy Jacobs. He had the biggest collection of film. So he watched all that film. And when he came in there, Mike Tyson, it was knockouts. You came in there, you couldn't even blink. You had to say that you come to see that fight, you're going to come see somebody. Somebody's going to be on their back. You know, right now, you see a heavyweight probably see the average fight, you know, go 12 rounds. It's decent, it's cool, but, you know, people want to see knockouts. They want to see somebody either get cut up or they want to see somebody get knocked out. You know, like I said, I like the kind of fight. I want to see my guy get knocked down and get back up and knock the guy out. That's what I like to see. I want to see a real fight. You know,
on both ends. There's not so much of an MMA. Are you a big MMA fan? So initially I was, and at one point that I thought that MMA would overtake boxing, but Dana White makes himself too much. Like, in other words, MMA don't have the face. The face of MMA is Dana White. That don't mean nothing in the bigger picture if you're trying to overtake boxing. Now, the average MMA fight is more exciting than the average boxing fight, but Dana White is always in the way. He's trying to promote, even if I was telling you guys earlier, if he wants a promotion of UFC, UFC is in big, bold letters, and if any of the fighters, their name is very small. So he's trying to, he's rich, he's promoting Dana White, but I'm not a big fan of MMA the way I used to. And I mean, I was a fan, I mean, I had a pride fighting in Japan, you know what I mean? When I was in Japan, that's when I see my first pride fight, UFC 1 and all that. A huge fan, but now it's more about Dana White and the UFC. And you know, it's more like Pippen. You know, you got these guys, they putting everything on the line, and Dana White is going to make all the money. You know what I mean? That's going to be the focal point of the UFC is Dana White, a guy who never fought, you know, probably never fought a day in his life. How much of the fact that they can't get MMA in New York City, in Madison Square Garden, that you talked about it, that has to be a big detriment too, why the sport is not going to blossom like a shit. They can't fight here in the Big Apple. Well, you know what? Actually, it shouldn't, because they don't do the fighters no good for Dana White to make more and more money, because then he's going to be paying them less and less. You know what I mean? To be a part of the UFC, you're going to have to take a step down. If you were doing one of them other or talk to the WEC or whatever it is, you got to take a step down to come to the UFC to face a better competition in the short year. Career instead of him just picking one of the fighters, finding the face of the sport. You know, it could have been Silver. It could still be Silver, but the face of the UFC is Dana White, and they don't deserve it. You know, Dana White don't deserve it. He don't deserve it. The fighters deserve it, but he's not giving it to them. He want to contribute. You know, he want to be the big focal point. You know, and even when they have the UFC, when they have their little reality show, when you look on the TV, guys that star in Dana White, he's going to fuck the punch. Come on. You know what I mean? And he had a good sport. He got a good product. But he's not trying to sell a product. He's trying to sell himself. It's a joke. And always, he's selfish instead of selfless. Right. Look, if I was to meet Dana White, the one thing I was telling him, like, listen, every time you see a UFC fight, it's blood in the ring. If none of it is yours, fall the fuck back and let somebody else be a star. You know what I mean? Jerry, as a boxing fan, were you disappointed that Mayweather and Pacquiao could never be made? Of course, because, see, that's the fight that people want to see, and, you know, you can look at it any kind of way. I would lean more toward being a Pacquiao fan, but at the end of the day, listen, if you want to fight the man, you make the fight, and then that's that. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, the steroid thing, if you want to fight somebody, you want to fight him. If you don't want to fight him, just don't fight him. You know what I mean? Just say that. Because we all are drunk in the world. Everything is a performance enhancer. Yeah? If you don't believe me, go to work without your weed. Do that. You know what I mean? It's to see if you can perform. See what I'm saying? It don't matter. That shouldn't be an issue.
Melly Mel, you were saying, when in doubt, fight it out?
You're damn right.
Melly, it's been a pleasure, man.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Don Stanley Sports is there right here at Roseland. They're going to close tonight with Melly Mel and show us things that are precious.
Yeah, right.
Sports and Death. Rock Talk Radio.
Thanks, man. That was heavy, man. Thank you. That was it.
Man. Melly Mel, what a heck of an interview. I'm Kenny, sports at Block Talk Radio. Tuscan Guard Radio Network. Melly Mel, ringside at Roseland. And tonight, that's about to be yesterday, 12th, the last night that they'll ever fight ever in Roseland. And at the same time, we take a moment and say on the 12th, to a man who won 11 NBA championships, 8 in a row, that's 3-peat plus 2. The most MVP awards won by a player in his era, 8 years in a row NBA champion, 11 times in 13 seasons, actually 11 and 12 because he got hurt, and when he came out of college, back-to-back NCAA champion. So you're telling me that in a 13-year NBA career, the last two in college. 15 years. 13 championships. Actually, it was 13 and 14 because he got hurt. And that was the year that the St. Louis Hawks won the championship. His reign on the St. Louis Hawks, Bob Pettit, the greatest record in the history at that particular time. Zeke Long, Williams, Bill Russell, and the Boston Celtics. Happy birthday, Mr. Russell. There's no doubt they named the NBA Championship trophy in his honor of the player in the NBA Finals. Greatest winner of all time, basketball. Greatest winner of any time, Williams, Bill Russell. Happy birthday, sir. Josh Kelly, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. We told you there was a horde of people sitting there at ringside. None of them was one of the lovely actresses of this era and a big boxing fan. Roberto Junbug Ortiz, the Latin side of boxing. We're talking about that earlier tonight. He's going to be here. But let's go back ringside at the Last Dance at Roseland. And it's the lovely Rosy Perez, who stops and talks right here, the Sports and Death, Rock Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio Network. Hey, don't move a muscle. Rosy, that's what you say, young lady. Come on.
Rock
Talk,
Sports and
Death,
Rock Talk Radio, ringside here at the Last Dance. The Last Dance is going to happen here at the famed Roseland, and we're talking to next month, his ladies' month, his name is beautiful every month. Rosy Perez, you, I seen you with Don King. I see you look, you must be a big boxing fan.
Yes, I am. I love it. Ever since the kid, Puerto Rican thing.
Yeah, any favorite fighters, any guys, you know, people that you like? Puerto Rico's had some of the greatest fighters, over Benignas, Hector Camacho, to name a few. Do you have any favorites?
Gosh, there's so many. Willie Benitez is actually was my favorite Puerto Rican boxer. Yeah, but you see old archives of Jose Torres, you know, he's amazing, always amazing. Yeah, and Wilfredo Gomez, you know, Tito Trinidad, I mean, Miguel Cotto, and, you know, you can't forget about Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia is Puerto Rican. I don't care what anybody says, he is Puerto Rican. And I really love to watch his fights as well.
Any non-Puerto Rican fighters that you like?
Oh, yeah. Of course, I love Mayweather. Roberto Duran, gosh, the list goes I like Fennell Whitaker, Sleepy Fennell Whitaker. I guess of course my place in the year. And today, a lot of good prospects. I really love Triple G. I love Guy Weber. I love Danny Garcia. I love this new kid who's coming up, the Olympic medalist, Earl Spence Jr. She put on a really great fight on Friday Night Fights on ESPN. You know, this kid, Ryan Martin, tonight, Blue Chip, he's a prospect. You know, I love the twins, the Charlo, those two twins, the two brothers, he fought Gabriel.
Jermell and Jamal Charlo.
Yeah, he just fought Rosado and won that fight. He's really good. I know this. I don't know which one of the twins. One is a little bit better.
It's a little better. And now we have on the March 8th pay-per-view on Showtime pay-per-view, with the headline by Canelo versus Angulo, we have Charlo facing the 154-pound champion in Carlos Molina. So, basically, you can have one Charlo being the champion and another Charlo being the mandatory challenger.
Listen, if they fought at home for nothing, they might as well fight in the ring.
Why not? They fought as kids, I'm sure, yeah.
That's the question I once asked my Frisco brother. Said, who must be you with?
I'm Gordon Hall.
I remember when Don King and Mike Tyson first came into Showtime, and you know, King had a lot to do with the birth and the emergence of Showtime, but he did about it, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a period of time. It was roughly about 10 years Don came and was, the primary provider of fights to us. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a Showbox show next week, Friday, February 21st, with Don King, a Showbox show that'll feature Angelo Santana, power punching Cuban. One of the better prospects in boxing until he actually came on the scene with a knockout of the year candidate against Johnny Garcia on Showbox, came back against Baja Mamajanov, got dropped and then stopped in an upset. Now he comes back to face Hank Lundy in basically his toughest test to date and a tougher fight than he fought in his previous loss. But that card, along with Amir Imam, who's a really top super lightweight prospect, will be on the card, and that's going to be with Don. So Don is still out there. Don's still trying to make
America.
Only in America. He'll be talking about the mayor of Cleveland and the governor of Ohio. It'll be at the Cleveland State University and the Wolstein Center, where actually we had a king card years ago with Sergey Lahovich taking on... I forget who the other king heavyweight was at the time.
King heavyweight, wow. There was Larry, there was Merritt.
Yeah, no, King had all the heavyweights at one point, whether they were... Tony TNT Tucker, can't forget him.
Yeah. Andy Slim, I love him like a son.
Yeah.
I had to put him into the heavyweight scene, of course, he dominated with Larry Holmes.
Well, now he's in his newest heavyweight, of course, is Beware Stavern, right, who... maybe fighting, the resurrected Chris Areola for a title shot, maybe.
The
resurrected Chris Areola. How many times did he come back?
He's
lost 20 pounds. He's supposed to be a new fighter now, you know. So with one of the Klitschko's leaving, Stavern is a legitimate heavyweight that, King still has in the heavyweight division.
And Crown Jewel is
the same way. Well, the Crown Jewel is... or any network or any fight fan probably is Floyd Mayweather because of the fact that he's the most skilled fighter out there and dominates his opposition and, you know, takes on all comers to date. So we'll see what happens next with him, whether it's Khan or whether it's Maidana.
Yeah, I heard it's going to be Khan. Hopefully Khan's going to be the next fight.
Well, I don't
yeah. He's no better than me.
Well, I don't know who it'll be, but I can tell you both fighters present different styles. Certainly you can make the case that Khan is as fast and as athletic as Mayweather, if not more. That could pose a lot more problems for somebody like Mayweather. Khan can provoke, a harder test, because of his athleticism and speed, and because Khan may be a little chinny, Mayweather's never really possessed huge power. And then when you have somebody like Maidana, a lot of people say that could be an easier fight for Mayweather because he could outbox him, and all he has to worry about is the big, the big punch. So, and I think Maidana, coming off of a very good performance against Broner, being a knockout artist, for fight fans, it would be a fight that maybe people would want to see more than someone like Khan, who's a little more of a, like I said, the boxer, the hand speed, the movement. And also coming off of a performance that was, average. Yeah, or mediocre. So, Maidana probably would end up being, maybe the better fight. And I wouldn't discount the fact that Mayweather may decide to fight him. And I know that the announcement will come out, I hear it's going to come out shortly, but people have been saying that for, a couple of weeks. Yeah, so, and depending on what poll you listen to or poll you watch, some people have Maidana leading and some people have Khan leading. And you can never really judge with polls because people can get the Khan army behind it to put Khan as the leader and, Maidana could have, his own people lobbying and voting. So, last I heard, ESPN had Maidana ahead, and maybe Mayweather's poll had Khan ahead. But I would say, in either case, it should still be compelling fights. But though a lot of people are thinking that it may be Khan, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Maidana. But we'll see. I don't think that no decisions been made. And I don't think that, I don't think that the decision's been made. That's all I can say.
A lot of people thought that Khan would maybe be a more marketable name than Maidana. Would it help the pay-per-view sales?
I don't know if that would be the case, because Maidana, to me, like I said, just got a lot of exposure in fighting Broner and not count Broner, so who is supposed to be the next coming of Floyd Mayweather. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't feel that Khan would be more marketable than Maidana. I would almost think that Maidana would be more marketable than Khan. Right, and also that Khan hasn't fought in over a year, Anyway, all right, good talk with him. All right,
thank you, mate. Doc Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio, our trusted Cigar Radio Network. Last night, the last dance at the
Berlin, Paul. We'll talk to move to Berlin. Let's get one interview and get away. I want to see if you do a couple of things a little bit differently. And I think you look good tonight. I think you look perfect with every fight. You know, he's got to learn how to snap that jab and follow it a little more. But he's a work in progress. But, you know, Travis is a great kid, man. He's a good person. And he's good quality, like, individual. And that's more important than anything because we're good people and you know, he wants to learn. He wants to get better. He's got that drive to be a champion. And I think with time, Travis is going to get there.
Give me your thoughts on Justin.
I got to tell you, man, I was really impressed by Joe tonight. He never fought anybody with the pedigree of Otis Griffin. And I thought tonight he won every second of every round. Back Otis up, hurt him a bunch of times. Really good learning time for Joe Smith. And I'll tell you, a fight that eventually will sell out the theater at the Garden. Write this one down, mark it down, Shawnee Monahan, Joe Smith.
What can we look for to see in that one?
I know, that's top rank, so I'm ready to make it right now.
Okay, so you said something about the jab, talking about the jab. Have you been noticing the trend of boxers not using a jab?
Yeah, man, guys try to throw bombs and they try to throw big punches, but the jab's the most important punch in boxing. If you can make that jab a weapon, if you can, like, snap people back with that jab, that's the greatest thing you can do in boxing. So if you can snap with that back with the jab, you're setting him up for a big punch. And, you know, Travis did a lot of things right. He's got a good story. He's a good kid. He's got good talent. I want to see him establish that jab more.
You talked about going to Hall of Fame with people you respect and you teach. And the humbleness in you, you don't want to play into this game. And you talked about how Tracy passed, along with his dad's first son and father, win a world championship. You said, David, look, but, you know, this is special to you because it's the residue of your friendship and the residue of your work.
You know, man, it's special to me because, like, you know, I'm a big Sinatra fan, man, you know, and, like, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So if I'm in the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, I did pretty damn good. And I'm proud to be in with the people that are in. I mean, there's so many great fighters, from Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, to Tracy Patterson, to Kevin Kelly, you know, to the young guys now that are champions, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. They're like, I mean, it's an endless list of great fighters out in New York. This is a fight town. And look, man, I'm a kid from Brooklyn, man. I ain't a kid from, like, I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth, man. I grew up in Flatbush. So, like, for me to get into the New York Boxing Hall of Fame, I'm truly proud. I'm humbled. I'm honored to be in with this class, and it means a lot to me. You're 5 heavyweight champions from New York City. And, you know, Harvard Red Lawyer, your parents, your great-parents, you know, we'll talk about tonight, special night, close the place down. Once again, you know, Broadway boxing at the forefront. Last night,
I got to tell you something, man, this is one of the best shows we ever did.
This show tonight was great, great club show, great local boxing, great matchups. The matchmaker, Joe Campbell, did a great job.
Got a cold, I'm sorry.
No, this place deserved to be closed in style. And Lady Gaga's going to pay 3 nights to close this place. I'm sure she's going to rock it out. But I'm proud that tonight we rocked it out with some boxing. We rocked this place. The Bell Entertainment rocked this place. These fighters rocked the place. Heather Hardy and that girl she fought, man, that was World War III. There was some Pee-wee Cruz's fight was terrific. There was some Joe Smith's fight. There was some great fights tonight. I'm really proud to be able to go out this way with a great boxing show.
You deserve it. Luke, the song of Kono and Sergio Martinez, the truth to it? Is it done? It's going to happen, okay? It ain't done yet. It's going to happen. We're going to rock Madison Square Garden. Serge is going to knock Kono out. I love my Boricua fans. I love Puerto Rico. It's one of my favorite places. I'm a huge lover of the Puerto Rican people, but we're going to have a lot of upset Puerto Ricans on June 7th.
How about your mom? Your dad okay?
Everybody's okay, baby. Good to see you, Doc.
Love you, Lou. You're the best, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Lou.
Doc Stanley, sports at Blog Talk Radio. On the Preston Cardio Network, live from Roseland. Now what we're going to do, continuing our own, the Latin side of working on boxing, our own Gilberto Junebug Ortiz. Junebug, let's talk boxing, baby.
Hi, Dennis, President, Block Talk Radio, and Preston Cardio Network. Again, Gilberto Ortiz, the...
Hey, I'm
Gilberto Junior Ortiz and our Latin side of working on boxing and the Cottage. Khan and Madonna names, and it seems that maybe Khan is the guy that maybe Mayweather's going to fight. He said he'll probably give Mayweather a better fight.
I think he would. He would give him a more competitive fight, that's for sure. His speed, his height, his speed, if it comes to box and not try to fight and box, I mean, fight like he fought with Danny Garcia, he got too close to him. He'll give Mayweather a good fight. I don't think he's going to beat Mayweather, but he will give him a good fight. Definitely so. Better fight than Maradona and Mayweather.
Okay. Pacquiao Bradley again. Fight that, it's a top rank goodie.
Well, I mean, what can you expect from top rank? It's always a sequel, you know? It's not a three-peat or a four-peat, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I thought Pacquiao won the first fight, in my eyes. Let's hope that Pacquiao can do it this time in better fashion.
Yeah, and it talks about sequels, you're right on the money. The winner of this fight is going to get Marquez.
Not surprising when it comes from top rank. You know, everything is all sequels, three-piece, well, you know, it's you know, they need to cut the crap out and just keep match their fighters up with Golden Boy fighters and stop the nonsense. And all this animosity towards each other just makes boxing look that much better.
I'm Sammy Sports, the blog type video on the Trust and God. And the Latin side of working on boxing, two icons, working on boxing and give birth to Junos, Batiste, Jimbo. Talked to Filippo last night. Roseland closed last fight card over there, and he said that it's just about on Sergio Martinez, and the fight you thought was going to come about Miguel Cotto.
Well, that's going to be an interesting fight. I wish Cotto the best. I hope he pulls it out. He's going to have his hands full. If Sergio Martinez is well healed, he's well rested, that's for sure. If he comes in to fight the way he fought before in the past, other than his last fight, I think Cotto's is going to have his hands full for the night. I hope Cotto pulls it out, but I have my doubts. I think Martinez has got too much lateral movement on him, and Cotto's going to find it hard to cut off the ring.
Wow, and that's going to be happening in June. MSG, Mexican Garden, part of the Latin Hispanic Weekend. Okay, now what happens now to the winner of that fight, Martinez and Cotto? Give Mayweather.
I'm sure there's two things that kick in. One, will Mayweather come up to fight him at 160? I don't think that's going to happen, but that's a possibility. Two, Cotto would have to go back down to 147 or maybe 154. Once you go up, do you really want to go down? Because it does hurt a fighter in the sense that it weakens him even more. It could happen. That maybe that may open another door for Cotto to fight Canelo Alvarez. So I don't know if you want to have it. if he can get the rematch with Mayweather, great. But the problem is what weight is Mayweather coming up or is Cotto going down?
So there's two options for Cotto. It's Mayweather. If not, then there's the fact that everybody wants to talk about Canelo Alvarez.
Well, he can either go with Canelo Alvarez, or if he wants. So that's the money fight. That you'll have to go to Canelo Alvarez if he beats Sergio Martinez, or if he decides that he wants to fight Gennady Golovkin, that's another option too. But like I said, Cotto is a business guy. He's going to go for the money fight, and the money fight is him and Canelo.
That's funny. Chicago was there last night, and I told him that. I said they say Triple G is looking for you, and he didn't say too much. Jones like, oh yeah.
Well, Triple G is—he's good. I don't think that Quinlan is quite. I don't think Quinlan will ever be ready to fight Triple G. Triple G is good. I can see why he's avoiding him. But it would be nice to see him fight him. I mean, win or lose, it's boxing. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. Two champions fighting each other.
We're talking to the champion of our Latin side of working on boxing, the iconic Tune, Gilberto Ortiz, and happy Valentine's Day. But, Melly Mel at the fight last night, he said something about Mayweather. Is that good? He said, Mayweather may have been the fight of the year, but he's never had the fight of the year.
I would have to say, yep, and he's right. I mean, if you want to say the fight of the year. To me, the fight of the year, and Mayweather's bragging rights to who's pound for pound the best welterweight champion is the fight between him and Pacquiao. You got to fight the elite fighters in that weight class. Now, even though Pacquiao lost two fights, okay, that's fine. But, you know, if he wins his next fight and he keeps winning, why not fight him? This is another thing that makes boxing look bad. You got two supposed to be the best fighters in the weight division, that weight division, and they can't seem to sit down and square off and make a business deal. It's like I said, this is the kind of stuff that makes boxing look bad.
And Melly Mel found that the fact, and great line, you know, they've been fight of the year, never had fight of the year, and he says, you know, how great you may well be where there's no great fight on his resume. There's no Frazier, there's no Ali, there's no Norton. He says, you know, he hasn't fought. He said, he looked back and talked about Roy Jones Jr. He said, you know, Roy sort of been an elite fighter, and yet his resume shows no elite fights and a downhill side.
Well, I mean, you can't compare these fighters to the old-school fighters. You know, old-school fighters, I mean, these guys were fighting 15 rounds, and, you know, they kept going. Yeah, you know, they were fighting. They weren't fighting twice a year. They were fighting at least three times, four times a year. I mean, these guys were fighting a lot. They were more active. And this time and age, these guys get paid so much money, and, you know, they don't want to fight four times a year. They'd rather fight two times or three times. That being said, I mean, you know, to me, like I said, I mean, Mayweather's a good fighter. I mean, there's other good fighters in the same weight division. For me to consider anybody in any weight division the best, you know, you got to pretty much eliminate all the good competition in that weight class. You know, Mayweather has eliminated some fighters, but there's still a lot of fighters in the welterweight division that he hasn't. Now, to get bragging rights to say you're pound for pound the best fighter in the world, I mean, then fight some of the best fighters in that weight class.
Soon, I know you get a run. Doc Sledge supposed to Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, and I have Valentine's up to. Soon, okay, let's do this real quickly. At the best, Ray Leonard, Sheree Robinson. Who wins that fight?
Well, I have to put my money on Ray Robinson.
And the one that we've got to talk about, too, and all the Tyson fans leaning this way, Mike Tyson against Muhammad Ali.
Hands down, the greatest, Muhammad Ali. I think, you know, he had the height, the reach. He was a boxer. Iron Mike was just a straight-up fighter. And with Muhammad Ali's height, his reach, his speed, you know, he'd keep Tyson at bay and beat Mike.
And then what does a young Mayweather do with a younger brother Rand?
Younger, I don't know. He'll have his hands full because, you know, it'll probably be Mayweather saying no mas.
Fox Daily, Sports of the Fox Talk Radio on the Tristan Gravity Network. Should we book any last bits of item you want to shoot the boxing fans about right here?
Well, I'm just looking forward to 2014, having some good competitive fights. A lot of these good fighters fighting other good fighters. Would be nice one day if Golden Boy and Top Rank set aside the differences and match some of their fighters against each other. You know, make it look better for boxing, more exciting. You know, with all this animosity they're having with each other, you know, it's just making boxing look that much bad. That's why Top Rank's having all these sequels and triples and quadruples. You know, it's ridiculous. They need to stop that crap.
The timetable is running out. Has it run out for Pacquiao Mayweather to happen?
No, I don't think so. I think it can still happen, but they need to work on that fight as of this year. You know, you can't keep putting off for something that they should have done a while back already. That being said, I think, you know, they need to work on making that fight. I mean, that's the only way you're going to find out who is, you know, pound for pound, the best welterweight fighter in that division. But until then, I mean, all I can tell you about both fighters is that they're both good fighters. That's it. I can't tell you who's the best because they haven't fought each other. Until that happens, then we can all say who was the best in the welterweight division.
Who would you pick in this fight, Pacquiao Mayweather?
It'll be a very good fight. They both got speed. They both got stamina. I'd have to go with Mayweather just because of his defensive skills, and he's a lot more intelligent in the ring than Manny Pacquiao. I'm not taking nothing away from Manny. Manny's not. He's a good fighter. But like I said, Mayweather's defensive skills they're out there, and he's good. They're both good. But like I said, I can't tell you. They're both good fighters, but I can't tell you who's the best until they fight each other.
Chuck Stanley's process at Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, Brooklyn on Boxing, the Latin side of Brooklyn on Boxing, our on and only June Gilberto Ortiz. That's it. And we'll be back with June in the following weeks once again.
Broken on Boxing, the Latin side of Broken on Boxing with June, the Roberto Ortiz, Doc Stanley, Sports and Death Block Talk Radio on the Stress and God Radio Network.
With that, we are getting ready to leave. One more with the gentleman who ringside with Rosie Perez from Showtime, who gave us that insight. Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today and stand for God tomorrow. Life's so consistent. The urgent question is, what are you doing for the service to others? And you pay for your space tonight. Birthdays that are coming up also. On the 17th, we told you Jim Brown and Michael Jordan. 16th, John Patrick Macko, Sugar Ray Robinson, number 10 is players for me. And Bill Russell was on the 12th. We got Eddie Murray and Floyd Mayweather Jr. together on the 24th. Birthdays opening month. Arthur Ashe opened up the birthdays for iconic African-Americans in Black History Month. The birthday is on the 2nd. We say happy birthday to the greatest boxing mind of this generation. Murray Brooklyn on the 10th. Happy birthday, PR man Lee Samuels from Top Rank. And we will always close out letting Marvin Gaye have his say. And once again, Last Dance. We're live ringside from Roseland. There'll be no more fights there. They're closing it down. And Lady Gaga will be the last performer there. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. And once again, just want to say thanks to Gordon Hall, Showtime, Rosie Perez, Kelly Bell, Luther Phelps, of course, our own, outside of working on boxing, and only incomparable Roberto Luther Ortiz. And with that, some thoughts, some of my Doc Stanley's wit and wisdom. If I don't call you, don't come. If I tell you these things to do, those are things I need you to do. And then there's, we'll use that classic line that I like from Lake Nelson Mandela. We are our brother's keepers. Our brother's coming off. Dr. Martin Luther King, life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And then there's Muhammad Ali. Service to others, reach your pay for your space on earth. Larry Hardesty loves this one. Live your life today. Stand before God tomorrow. Doc Stanley, Sports at Blog Talk Radio. The Trust in God Network. By my heart. God bless you all. Trust in God. And now, we take it away to Marvin Gaye as we close out this segment. Sports and Death. Thanks for being with us. God bless you all. Trust in God.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined.
The ringside, live from the last show at Roseland, was Thirsty, H. Red Brown, and also our own Lady M.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to love, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, the little fear, you got fear. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio, on Trust in God and Network. We also dedicate this show to Derek Sanderson Jeter, who has announced he will retire at the end of this year. Derek Jeter, where is number two? I've said because it's apropos. He's second to none. There's nobody. He's second to none to nobody as a player and a person. He's everything that Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. A real live American hero. God bless you, Derek. Love you, buddy. All the best to you. You surely have been the epitome, a role model, a hero, and a great baseball player. But more importantly, I remember his first year in the league, Derek Jeter, up in Harlem, with Larry Hardesty, the greatest American sportscaster, African-American sportscaster in radio history, and the great John Stocks, and myself, giving out turkeys. His first year, that was his turn to foundation, like his idol, Dave Winfield. Derek Jeter. He reminds me of that movie, The Tall Man. I remember when Clark Gable walked out, Robert Ryan looked at the guy and said, he's everything every old man says he was, everything every little boy wants to grow up to be. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Last dance for Roseland, last chance around, the great Derek Sanderson Jeter. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being with us.
Talk radio and Trust Scott Hill, the greatest all-around basketball player ever saw play day in, day out. And you know, Clark, the thing he talked about you was you always were under control. Gets up by 10, down by 3. Walt Clyde Frazier always was in control.
You got to put it this way. They're going to clear the streets where I'm ripping.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Darrell. Let's slide over a little bit.
Yeah, well, I grew up that way. My coaches, even as a kid, my mom was always telling me to be under control. I was a role model before I knew what the word meant. I was the oldest of 9 kids, so I always had to set a good example. So I applied that also into sports. I was always the captain of the team, so people were always looking for me for leadership or as composure when things got tough. I had to deliver.
Well, you also were quite a football player, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a great passer, man, like Johnny United.
Uh-huh.
That's my idol, yeah.
It was something you said you didn't think was going to come about. You know, you played here at SIU, and you wound up being a Knick. And you said you liked the city, but you never thought you'd come here.
Yeah, because they had a lot of backcourt guys. Freddie Crawford, Emmitt Bryant, Cole Myers was started along with Barnett, Cassie Russell, Bill Bradley. So when I looked at it on paper, they didn't need a guy like me. But I was very fortunate that it happened. And obviously the rest is history.
For you, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson, All-American forwards come to the pros, All-American guards, all pros.
Yeah, the versatility of the players from that era, that they could do play 2 or 3 different positions. So that worked to our advantage because we were also the first big guards in the game. 6'5", 6'4", that revolutionized the backcourt.
What would you say? What one thing would you want to say to beautiful America? You've been a role model, a classic festival. What's the role play you say to the youth of America and the world?
Every man controls his own destiny, man. You know, no one was dealt worse hand than I was.
Mm-hmm.
9 kids, and so I was able to overcome it. If you look at all the NBA players, about 80% of them are from poverty backgrounds. So if you have a game plan, you're willing to work, get an education, live a exemplary lifestyle, nothing can deny you your success.
And you were shocked to be on the same team with your idol, Dick Barnett.
Yeah, Barnett was the sharpest dresser, so what I learned from him was how he took care of his body. He was about 9 years older than me, didn't smoke, didn't drink, always mentally and physically prepared to play the game. So not only did I copy my fashion from him, but also my health and ethics as well.
You know, Clyde, to me, you're the greatest Dick of all time, and you're the greatest all-around guard I've ever seen play. Thanks a lot, my friend. Thanks for all the time and all the great memories, Clyde.
You said all the kudos, man, throughout the years.
Yeah, it was the truth, Clyde. There's nobody better than you. Not Oscar, not West, not nobody.
All right.
Oh, Clyde.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to talk
somebody. What do you think that's like? Mark Ruger. I got some apples and oranges. Did you eat them off the most? I said, put them in the box. He said, I'm not that kind of box. I want to fight. I'm like, come on. I said, no, man. I said, no box. He said, why? I said, this is your badge. I said, you know how to fight. Yeah. I said, all you need to know.
Right now. It's great error for him.
Do you think you've been as successful in your era as he is now?
I don't think I'd wrestle, but I'll say he's a big guy.
He can hang.
Yeah.
But we won't be the top dog.
No.
Okay.
It's going to be a hard fight.
Yeah. Next up, Mark.
If you keep you by my side, ain't you proud of me?
from walking away. Let your friends laugh, even this I can stand, 'cause I wanna keep you any way I can. Ain't you proud of me?
complete.